Welcome everyone to the West Print Sports Review, proudly brought to you by West Print. They're based at 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. Their phone number is 09 827 8531, or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. Well, might as well start it off. You know, sometimes you can have good Saturdays, sometimes you can have bad Saturdays. I had a great Saturday getting ready to go out to Western Springs. I was following online our reserves. Had a good 21-8 win over Grammar Tech over there. And congratulations to Stuart, Rowan, Cassidy and Morgan. You guys have put great culture into that team. They're in the grand final versus Pakuranga. At 21s. You know, they've had a hard season, but, you know, they've got something to play for. They had a 23-21 over Suburbs Roskill. And, of course, the Mighty Lizards had a 39-5 win over the Grammar Tech Tanifars, and they're now in the semi-finals. But then I went down to, you know, Western Springs, and everything had been low-key during the week. Went down there and probably saw one of the best displays I've seen from an Eden team in my time of 20-plus years being involved with Eden Rugby. Days like these are very, very special for a club like ours. We're not expected to be there, but we're there. And after 99 years, we're in a Gallagher Shield final. And it means a lot to a lot of people. Sitting there with our president, Junior Williams, there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of cheers. But one thing we have to say is we've got Grammar Tech. They've won Gallagher Shields in the final, so we have to be wary. And for anyone out there, this rugby revolution that started in 2015 has really came into fruition 6 years later. Two Patola trophies, a Jubilee trophy, two Gallagher Shields semi-finals, and now a Gallagher Shield final. Congratulations to David, Alex, Fanau, the management of Paul, Andreas and Jace, and of course the physio, the most important man, being Marty the physio. So really it's going to be a special day for a lot of us that have been involved in Eden Rugby. And I know one man who can't be with us, and I'm going to send him a wee gift, is my old mate AJ Wetton. AJ, good afternoon, mate.
How are you, mate? Well, the sun is shining here in Sydney. It's 18 degrees. I'll be going out for my walk in a minute, but I knew I had a phone call. And first of all, can I pass congratulations to Eden and to my club, Grammar Tech, for making the Gallagher Shield final. Not many teams get to even make a final, mate. So suck it up, Grammar. I won't go through the history because you'll be here for another hour of what they've achieved. But it all starts at nil all, Piggy.
That's it.
And it just comes down to that 85, 90 minutes on the day. Sadly, I won't be there to see it and experience it and host you in the club rooms of the Barbarian Clubs afterwards as my special guest. But I know that I'll be there in spirit, and may the final be a beauty. I'll be favouring Grammar, of course, my team. I hope they do it. But like, as I said, two worthy finalists. May the best team win, mate.
Certainly, it certainly will be a good final. As you know, I'll be back in Eden now. Just because I know you're not going to be there, AJ, I've spoken to the sponsor. We may get a cardboard cutout of me sent to your hotel, so you when you're watching the game, you can have me next year.
I'll tell you what, it won't be expensive because it'll only be half my size. So yeah, bring it on.
But no, this is a great way after all what's happened in the past few weeks, and you know, one thing I've got to say about, and I say it to, you know, a lot of our supporters, you know, give these teams that are in the final and are in the semi-final, give them a bit of space. You know, let's not get carried away. We've still got one more game to go. And, you know, speaking to, you know, a lot of the players and a lot of the management, their feet are on the ground. And, you know, I am hoping for what will be a really great day, because that will really kick off next year's centenary at Eden Rugby Club. And just for those wanting to buy some stuff for the centenary, you've got until 5 o'clock, so go to our website at edenrugby.co.nz and have a look at our merch there. But anyway, we might as well get on to something I don't really want to talk about. After watching that, I was flat after the All Blacks performance against Fiji. I don't know what your thoughts were, but it wasn't a pretty watch, AJ.
Yeah, well, look, expectations, obviously, we know coming off Tonga, not into the same class of Fiji. And first of all, can I congratulate Fiji? They came to play rugby. Don't underestimate them, as I said. I thought it'd be about 50 points, and look, I was 7 points off. But did I expect Fiji to score 23? Possibly not. But that goes down to the likes of Vern Cotter. He is a wily, experienced coach.
Very good.
He's travelled around the world. He's coached teams internationally, plus in France, and that Pro 14 with Montpellier and Clermont, and then on to Scotland. So, look, you can see the changes and the direction he's taken. Very good in the set piece. They came to play footy, and boy, they'll go back with some confidence that, you know, they can, you know, put another good performance against the All Blacks in Hamilton this week. Yes, on the other side, you look at the All Blacks, but hey, it was a bit of a change side. You got Barrett coming into the first five. You've got Ethan Black out on the side, and I thought he had a solid game. I thought he still brings that rugged approach to it. I was impressed with him. So Tutu and Frizzell, yeah, maybe Mr. Frizzell, you know, not quite playing to the level we expect. But look, I think we could see the changes, and they battled a bit to get that cohesion in the last 15 minutes. Well, you know, they obviously just got a few more tries. Fijians tiring possibly, but you must take your hat off to them. They came to play footy, and hey, we got a spectacle.
We certainly did, and of course, Dane Kowalski, the replacement, scoring four tries. I tell you something, I bet you Fitzy wish he could have scored four tries in a match.
Well, he got a few on the wing. It was him and JK and Terry Wright and Craig Green. They're always out on the wing. Mind you, I wasn't too far myself because I was knackered. But look, I think when the experience came to the fore, I think when Sam Whitelock came on, I think he just brought it a bit tighter, that experience, and he just went away in the last few minutes. I mean, and of course, Colsey coming on, there's no doubt about it. He brings all that experience too, and I think we saw it with Dane. Good to see Will Jordan again, Mr. Finisher. What a great man to have in your team out wide. Give him the ball, give him space. 9 times out of 10, he's going to finish for you. So, look, they're going to got stuff to work at, which is quite good. I mean, going into another test, you can sit back, you've put on 80-odd points, and you say, well, you know, what have we got to improve on? Hey, they know they've got some improvement in certain areas, and I expect the All Blacks to come out a better team also.
Yeah, I expect them to come out. I expect a couple of changes because the thing that concerns me, AJ, is that we talk about our depth at New Zealand rugby, and in some areas I just believe that we're lacking a bit of depth, AJ.
Yeah, I think that's why they've got quite a big squad to blood these guys in these matches. I have no doubt of when it comes to the big stuff, and the Vizsla Cup is going to be that big one on August the 7th. That'll be a beauty at Eden Park. Then you'll see the team that they've got already probably inked in. So a bit more experimentation. You've got to give these guys a run. You can't just keep them on the bench or in the squad for 4 weeks, Biggie. They've got to get out there. You know, bloody hell, they're All Blacks. They want to play. So you've got to put them. It's just about getting the right combinations and those that have put up their hand. So I have no doubt it's in everyone's favour, but we'll see the real team come out on August the 7th.
And, of course, you've been in Australia, so you watched that first test of Wallabies versus France. Wallabies got a last-minute penalty to beat probably pretty much not usually the top French side, 23-21. What were some of your takes from that match from Australia's point?
Well, again, it was up. We always expect with the French. They did right. They had a few players who come off the final. They weren't playing. So they will be a better team. But look, they're disappointed. You know, there was the opportunity to win it, but it's a typical France. You know, all they do was kick it out, make a mistake, and the Wallabies capitalised. Yeah, a fair result, 50-50, a couple of opportunities missed by the Aussies, but I tell you what, they've got to pick up their game, Piggy. They looked a wee bit disjointed at times, a few basic mistakes, set pieces and the ball on the ground. They've really got to up their game mentally. I think they've got the physical attributions, probably not the depth we understand that the All Blacks have, let's be honest. But when those people take the field, they've really got to deliver. And as a team, Dave Rennie hasn't quite got there yet. Yes, they'll be better, but so will the French. And they will be hurting from letting that game slip away.
They certainly will. And of course, the Lions had a 31 win over a 40-man Sharks. They were unable to play their game at the weekend against the Bluebills because that was cancelled due to the COVID situation in South Africa. Real concerns there whether this tour will go ahead.
It has to. There's a lot of money at stake, and I hate to say it, it is about the money. There's contracts, there's sponsorship. I'd like to see what the, you know, there's no crowds, but how it's rating on TV. I mean, it must be going through the roof, people trying to get their rugby fix. But over here, of course, I haven't seen any of it. Look, the games will go ahead, I'm assuming, unless something drastic happens. And look, they've only got another 2 weeks in the country, and then they're back home. So they'll be coming home, and England, of course, losing the Euro final to Italy. Well, there won't be the beers all over the place, as we probably expect. But look, another 2 weeks, get the rugby out of the way, and then they can come home and put the feet up for the season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good series. We'll see how good the South Africans really are going to be.
Yeah, true.
And
true.
Because they're going to be short of a gallop, so I'm picking the Lions to win that series 2-1, AJ, but yep, you never know with the South Africans. Well, I will miss you at Eden Park, and I'll miss not, you know, having a victory beer with you to celebrate Eden's Gallagher
Shield. That's all right, mate. You like it. You know, everyone's coming out and putting it out there. That's what it's all about. It's generating interest. And I know one thing that I say to the Auckland club rugby scene and supporters, get out there and support the two clubs. It's their day. They're two best teams in the competition. That's why they're in the fight. Go out and support the rugby on a lovely day there at Eden Park. Enjoy the experience because it's a one-off for some of these men. Sadly, I never got to, I played a final or two, but never got to hold that trophy up in my career. So good luck to these men. Enjoy the opportunity. Relish it because you don't get many chances.
You did right there, AJ. And I have to say, it's always great. And hopefully we'll be in touch for next week. And you take care, mate. And I know you've had a rough week or so, mate. And all the best to you, mate.
Well, that's all right. Let's hope it's not rougher on the weekend and we stick one up either. Cheers, boys.
No. We've got to go now. Okay, bye-bye, AJ. I cut him off pretty quickly there because I might have to have a word to him. Thank goodness he isn't going to be there. He'd be giving me absolute, he'll be unbearable. Anyway, let's play a bit of music and then we'll talk a bit of NRL with Blue McLennan.
Chance's girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there were 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack and toting a machine gun.
Welcome everyone back to the West Prince Sports Review here on Planet FM, and of course we come to the NRL part. And well, if you watch the Warriors versus the Sharks, it wasn't a pretty watch. But we'll get online our expert on NRL, former Kiwis, former Leeds Rhino, former New Zealand Warriors coach Brian Bluey McLennan. Good afternoon, Bluey. How are you, mate?
Yeah, morning, Piggy. How you doing?
Oh, listen, mate, I've had a fantastic weekend. My club Eden's in the Gallagher Shield final, as you know, where we are in Sandringham. So it's going to be a fantastic weekend. I'm waiting on media accreditation to see if they'll let me into the park as part of the media. I know, yeah, they've let the lunatics definitely run in the asylum if they let me in that box there. But anyway, we might as well get to the elephant in the room. Sharks 20, Warriors 12. I have to say, from what I looked at it, they just really did lack it. They lacked a lot in attack. And really, I think it's time that maybe they need to move in Rhys Walsh into the halves and put Roger Tuivasa-Sheck back to fullback. Your thoughts, Bluey?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, actually. Yeah, I think it was good to see the Warriors get off to a good first quarter. So they actually set their game up, but they just don't have enough in their halves to create what the coaches are wanting, hence why they bought Chad Townsend, hence why they've got Sean Johnson for next year. And, you know, I thought Sean Johnson showed yesterday why they are getting the Warriors, you know, getting them at the Warriors, because he's able to control the match with his kicking game. I mean, 5 repeat sets. So I thought in general the 1, 9, 6, and 7 for the Warriors were a bit flat. Wade Egan, however, did a lot of tackles and had to do a lot of work. But I would be really tempted to leave Rhys Walsh up on the left edge there, because he likes to play that left edge naturally. Put Roger Tuivasa at check, because what the Warriors are missing offensively is some push and some scheme around the middle of the park with Wade Egan or off Adam Fanua Blake or now Lodge. There's not enough push through and enough going through the middle. And you saw that when the Warriors went to that unstructured style of attack of playing off a second phase play, they actually sparked up and looked better. But when they were trying to do their structure, it didn't look that threatening at all.
Yeah, it just didn't look threatening at all. It just lacked this cohesion that was there. And, you know, I don't want to be critical of players, but I felt, you know, O'Sullivan, I didn't think had a bad game. But I felt Nikorima, he looked like he was short of a gallop, and it just didn't look good. The good thing about, from a Warriors perspective for next season, Sean Johnson, I felt his game was a mature game. He really led the Sharks around the park.
Yeah, he did. He pretty much played with a dinner suit on, Sean. And Nikorima, you sat there going, run, run, run. Now, how many times has everybody been saying that over the last couple of years? So, you know, he's had plenty of, you know, ample opportunity to cement it and say, everyone say, hey, he's our guy. I don't think he is in the halves. Janelle Harris-Davida will be a welcome addition when he can come back. He's the future. And him with Sean Johnson next year is going to look pretty exciting. But if they're going to win some games now, if it were me, I would be looking at putting Rhys Walsh on the left side and getting Roger in and around the ball. They need more support to spark up some momentum and then playing off the back of that. At the moment, their offense is not very good. Their defense has been pretty good. They just went flat in that second quarter and just lost that little bit of line speed. So you only lose your line speed when you lose control of the ruck. And, you know, that's what happened. And that was from Sean managing the game so well and causing repeat sets.
Certainly was. Well, we might as well move on to the other games at the week for the round and a shortened round. Raiders 30, the Sea Eagles 16. I have to say, I watched this game. Sam Williams, a guy that's, you know, has been struggling to get a game at the Raiders, had a fantastic game.
Really. Yeah, he did. He's been in the system a long time. So, you know, he understands everything. He's pretty experienced. I thought in general the Raiders really sparked up. So they had a short turnaround. Ricky Stewart obviously hit the right buttons. They were energetic. And they just jumped ahead of the Sea Eagles, who had been in really, really good form. The shock result of the round, really. So well done to the Raiders to get back on the board.
And, of course, the Rabbitohs, 46, the Cowboys, 18. How good was Cody Walker?
Oh, look, he's probably the natural footballer of the competition. You know, he just reminds you of a kid playing out in the backyard amongst his mates and just being the one with all the skills. That's Cody Walker. Phenomenal effort.
It certainly was, and I have to say that, you know, and of course Tane Milne, he was a Warriors reject, scoring a couple of tries for the Rabbitohs. That was quite interesting watching him play. And Alex Johnson, I think he's got a couple as well too. Then the Roosters 22 over the Bulldogs 16. Very lucky were the Roosters, but I will say this to you. I'd hate to walk into Victor Radley. He is a beast.
Yeah, he's sort of becomes a favourite player for you. It's in today's game where the game's getting faster, they're tweaking rules. There's nothing better than seeing a bloke out there that likes to hurt people. And that's Victor Radley. He's got the skill with it too. He really does a good job in the middle of the field for the Roosters and tying up defenders or creating momentum through that middle. But defensively, he actually feels that it's his duty to try and hurt people. And you've got to have those in your team. Got to have some enforcers in there. They're going to make people not get too comfortable and go right under the line.
Certainly, you're right there, Blue. Well, we move on to Wednesday, State of Origin 3. What do Queensland do to stop the Rock from this being an absolute whitewash?
Well, they've got to do a lot. They've got to suck some energy out of New South Wales. And you can only really do that by controlling possession and territory. So they're going to have a little bit of a mundane approach to it, but it's just got to be relentless. And, they've got to make sure they're not reckless. They've got to... Yeah, keep trying to make New South Wales come out their own end and do the hard yards. Just keep at it till they take some steam out of them. Because the fact is, in my opinion, is New South Wales have 50% of the ball, as do Queensland. For me, New South Wales win every day of the week. So they need to accumulate more possession and and try and stay with that territory and just try and ground them out. I see Jonathan Thurston's come out and been very passionate about the Queensland culture, which he feels has been questioned. And, so I'd imagine that this Queensland team's going to be very, very fired up, and they're going to need to be, but they're going to have to be really good. And be interesting to see how Daly Cherry Evans plays too, Piggy. I think, if he doesn't nail this one, it could be his last shot, game as captain of the Maroons.
It could be his last game in a Maroons jersey. And to be quite straight to the point, I think one of the things, if you're Queensland, do you start targeting the new halves combination of Mitch Moses and Jack Whiten?
Yeah, well, that's just going to come naturally anyway. And most teams, do plays that tie them up. But I think for Queensland, it may make it a little easier for their defence on the edges, because with Luai and Cleary, because they play at club level, they're able to work together so well and moving the team around the field and to what shapes and attacking targets that Pretty Fitless has identified for them. It will be a lot harder for Moses, Wyden to come up and hit that running. So you've got to think that New South Wales, just their cohesion could be a little bit affected. So that means Queensland have really got to get their line speed up and try and cause some errors just through that, them being possibly a little bit disjointed on their offence.
Certainly. Well, we'll look forward to that game, and I'll look forward to chatting to you next week, Bluey, and I hope that you have a good rest of the week, mate.
Thank you so much, Piggy. You take care, mate.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. That was Bluey McLennan. Wow, interesting. He gives some really great great analysts of the game, of rugby league, and I think, we need to see more of him in mainstream media. Anyway, I'll play a bit of music and we'll get on to a bit of football next with Alan McElroy.
I'm not, I sometimes feel so lonely. Sometimes I think I'm down to the river and the water runs away.
river's trying to break my heart. Oh, darling, sometimes get so lonely here. Someday I think I'll go down to the well and let the river wash away my every tear. Now
welcome back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And just if you haven't heard, Novak Djokovic beat Matteo Balotelli 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 6-3 to win his 20th Grand Slam. And it's about, I think it's about 6th Wimbledon title. Ash Barty won the women's final at Wimbledon. Poirier beat McGregor at UFC 264, but we're going to talk about it. It's not coming home, it's going to Rome. And join us to talk about Euro 2020 is comedian and football tragic Alan McElroy. Alan, viva Italia.
Ciao. What a day. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic, mate. What, I tell you something, there will, I will say this to you, that when Rashford took that penalty, I thought, you silly, silly boy.
Oh, yeah, the little dance on the way up.
Yep.
He's done a lot of good, like, and you feel sorry for him and the kid at the end.
Yep.
That was unfair,
yes,
putting them in that position. You know, you had Jordan Henderson, who he could have stayed on an extra couple of minutes. He was taken off for the penalties, but yeah, that kind of ruined it for him, just a little dance. And it was a shocker.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say to you, it started off well for England. The second minute, Luke Shaw scored a goal. And then the Italians scored in the 67th minute. And right towards the end, you could see Italy were attacking well. And I think, we've got to give credit to the Italians. And I also got to give credit to England. They actually made a final. And they actually, at times, played some good football. But the Italians looked more clinical on the ball, Alan.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing as well, and they are older, and I hate to say this, but I could see England come back and winning at one of the next tournaments, because their squad was so young, and they played as a squad. They were a decent squad, but at least I don't have to hear that song again for another couple of years. It's coming home, so I'm happy to have that on mute again.
Yeah, well, I was going to, just in case they won it, I had it on my music list to play, and thank goodness they didn't win, because, A, I'd have to go in the last minute to find another football correspondent, and B, I think the Broadcast and Standards Tribunal would hear your tirade and would definitely put me off air forever.
I couldn't have handled it. I watched it at home. Like, my girlfriend is English, so we watched it together. My kid is up school holidays, so didn't understand. But she knew that I really, really like Italy. That's all my kid got from it. She looking at me cheering, losing my mind during the penalties. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was great to watch. It was funny. It was hilarious. All the videos of people out celebrating, singing the song before the game even happened, before the final happened. And now they're probably going to go around and smash up pizza shops all over England, some of those fans, like they did with the IKEA against Sweden.
Yeah, well, I can tell you something right now. I was sent a few photos on Messenger, and people, and some of the some of the scenes coming out of Trafalgar Square were not good. The riots were already beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen a picture of a rocket in a place that a fella shouldn't have a rocket. unless he's into it. And it just looked like he was about to kick off. But I'm staying on social media in case I do see that. It's horrible scenes, horrible. Like they burnt out German cars when Germany bet them last time. When Germany knocked them out,
yeah.
Fans went around looking for German cars and just started setting them on fire. That's nuts.
You have a look at it, like your normal English football fan that would go to the games, the ones that would pay, would buy a ticket and or travel overseas. They're usually from clubs in League One or League Two. They're genuine football supporters. They like to go and support England. They're not part of this buffhead, and I'm going to say it, buffhead bozos that decide to, ruin an occasion. You know, like New Zealand rugby fans get criticised, and we do get criticised, and rightfully so. We don't really show a lot of passion in our country. We don't show a lot of
emotion.
Yeah,
but that's the way the country is, you know. It's a bit reserved. You hold back.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, if we lose a game, we're all a bit grumpy, and there's media and, you know, there's sadness for 3 or 4 days. We don't go around wrecking stuff.
Nah. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't understand that mentality as well of just like ruining someone else's property because your team lost or your team didn't play well. And it doesn't help them. It doesn't help their reputation. And the fact that the players are pulling off their medals as soon as they got a silver medal. Like, you should be happy to get to the final at least, you know. I know you want to win, but don't disrespect the whole competition, boy. Have you seen that? You seen the video?
I did see that, and I was...
It
reminded me of what England done in the Rugby World Cup final as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Same sort of thing.
I didn't see that. I can't remember that one.
Yeah, well, you probably...
Well, it was a good tournament overall. I'm not a big gambler, but I put money on Italy to win, and I put money on Ronaldo getting the golden boot. So for once in my life, I won money in the bookies.
Well, you'll be able to take your daughter out on school holidays.
Well, that's it. We're in the arcades now because I had to walk down 2 flights of stairs to get away from the pounding noise, which isn't good for anybody's head. Sober, drunk, hungover, whatever state you're in, that noise is not good. Yeah. So she's in there. She has a card with $50 on it, and I said, go nuts. I'll be back in 10 minutes. So God knows what she's going to come down with, full of sweets, sugar.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm keeping away from sugar because I think the doctors given me a bit of a rare kick up the backside because of some of my past behaviours. So, as you know, Al, I'm a man of moderation.
Yeah, I've seen you. I've seen you moderate quite heavily in the past. I've seen you very moderated on a couple of occasions.
Well, you were involved in a lot of that. So, you know, as were a lot of other people.
I take care. Yeah, I know. I'm not. I can't talk. I can't say anything. I loved the tournament. It struggled to get up at those times to watch the game. So hopefully next time they look after us and have a decent kickoff time. But what a finish as well. I loved it.
You know, isn't it a way to end a really good final, having that drama at the end of the penalty shootout? And, you know, I was up with a couple of colleagues from work, and, of course, a lot of them being English, and, of course, and one Italian supporter. And, I was trying to be quiet because I have to be impartial, being from New Zealand, but my heart was definitely with Italy. But, you know, Gareth Southgate's actually, you know, I think he's done a wonderful job with England.
He's done a great job,
And you know what? I think England could win the World Cup in Qatar 2022 because I think they've got the talent there. I believe that some of the talent I saw, personally, I personally believe he should have brought Jack Grealish on earlier.
Because he made a difference, definitely.
He makes a difference, and he's made a difference the whole tournament as well, too.
We don't like him because he was supposed to play for Ireland, so we don't. He played underage for Ireland, so we're not a fan for him and Declan Rice. But no, he was great, and he actually looked dangerous. Like, Sterling just looked like he was trying to dive every chance he got. Which is, you know, supporting Italy is terrifying if he ran near the box in case he fell over his own feet again. But Grealish looks like an amazing player. Well, he stepped up really well.
Well, the rumour is that he could be heading to Manchester City in the summer.
Oh yeah, well they have the money for him, don't they? And he's an English player, so you need to have your quota in your team.
Yeah, well. Well, we must catch up in a few weeks' time, obviously, with the end of this, with the end of Euros. We may catch up for the Premiership preview. How do you feel about that, Al?
I love it. I'll be watching all the games, catching up. I have my dodgy illegal websites to find the games now if I can't afford Spark.
Yeah.
I'll be up to date.
I don't think there are many executives from Spark will be following this show, so you've got no problems there.
Yeah, we're all right, we're safe. Lovely.
Yeah, well, I'll be backing on a Manchester United premiership.
Oh, God, no. I have to stick with Liverpool.
So what's the rest of the week for you? Many shows coming up, or is it just a bit
I just finished Queenstown, 3 sold-out shows, so I'm going to Q&A with my kids. Taking a week off the next week on the Queenstown for my birthday. So taking 2 weeks off from comedy, still doing the quizzes, and then back in Auckland at the end of July in Paddington, Parnell, and Good Home in Birkenhead. So back into it in 2 weeks.
And it'll be good. And I'm definitely going to come down and watch the show. And will you be having coffee with your friend Wallace?
I might do. I don't know. I need to check my email. I haven't checked my emails in 2 days. I just landed yesterday.
Did you
and went
tell Wallace about me? What a great sporting guy I am.
Yeah. So I'll have to check my emails and see what's going on.
Hey Al, you've made the Euro 2020 controversial but funny, and I have to say we've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun doing the spot with you. So we'll catch up in a few weeks' time once the EPL kicks off.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun. Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Alan McElroy, and I have to say, a real funny guy. And if you ever get a chance to watch him live, he's really one of the most funniest men that you can actually see. Every time I see him, he always gets me smiling. Anyway, I'm going to play a bit of music and then we get on to the panel and we've got a bit to discuss with All Blacks versus Fiji, the Olympics, and of course motorsport.
Eating out of time with my mind, and I know something's going on.
I just wanted somebody to caress this town. She made
get herself a bed of nails, and she's planning on putting it to use. But she had diamonds on inside. She had diamonds on inside. She had diamonds on inside.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here, brought to you by Westprint here at Planet FM, and on a week that has been, on the weekend that has just been. And here to speak about this, about some of the sporting topics of the day, we have the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, who will be leaving us this Saturday for a few weeks and covering the Olympics for Sky TV, the man, the legend, Mr. Mark Watson. How are you, Mark?
I'm heartbroken, mate. I'm heartbroken. I really wanted England to win that European Cup this morning, and they lost on penalties. And look, it was a good final at the end of the day. Italy probably were the better team throughout that tournament. But if you're asking me how I genuinely am, yeah, a little bit upset, to be fair.
You'll be one of very few English fans who would have been shouting for England. And, of course, the silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Sean Summerfield, saw me walking somewhere, and on off air he questioned me, was I going to the pub, which I wasn't. I was picking up my laundry. Sean Summerfield, how are you?
Good, mate, good.
Good.
Yeah, I thought, you're a sport mad guy. You must be off to the Clear Inn or something to watch the McGregor sprained ankle, but no. You were actually doing domestic duties. But you looked a bit weary, Eamon.
You're
struggling with something. You're not well.
Well, I think it's not every day or weekend your club makes the Gallagher Shield finals, the first time in 99 years. So, you know, it's going to be a great occasion at Eden Park. So.
Who are they playing? Is it College Rifles?
It's Grammar Tech there, Mark. So we're not playing the professionals.
Shouldn't you?
Well, it's a final. I'm saying nothing. I'll be shouting for Eden the whole way when I'm in the media box at the Auckland. Well, once the Auckland Rugby Union gives me my media accreditation, which might garner a bit of laughter out of both of you. So, yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you a story, mate. I came up in 97. I was living in Southland, and Southland challenged for the Shield, and they almost won it. And it was the same weekend of Princess Di's funeral. I remember it vividly. And I was able to get up into the media box, and I got a little bit excited, and I got some very dirty looks from some senior journos, some of the greats. And I was with an old schoolmate, Paddy McKendry, who gave me a wee nudge and said, mate, you can't show emotion up here. So if I can give you a tip, mate, play it cool.
I'll see Paddy in the box.
Isn't Patrick McKendry a lovely man too, to be fair?
Oh, he is. He's actually one of the great sports journos, mate. And
just on that, though, Sean, I always find that it's amazing because, you know, when I was on Talkback, I had quite a strong opinion. It's amazing how many journos, and I'm not going to name them, just absolutely stark on me for having an opinion. And I really struggle with some of them, to be honest. And I'm like, but hang on a minute, we're in the same game. I just verbalise my opinion, you guys write yours. And yet, for some reason, you know, I sort of sense I'm not your favourite cup of tea. And I'm like, I've never done actually anything to you guys personally. But that's just, I find that a little bit with some of the written media, to be fair.
I was reading something the other day, and what it was. And it was interesting, you got called a shock jock. And I thought you had strong opinions, but I never think you'd gone that far.
No, I don't think I was a shock jock. I don't think I ever deliberately set out to sort of... You know, a lot of people accuse me of that at times, but generally most things that I said, I meant it, and I said it, and I like to deliver it with a relative argument. You don't have to agree with it. But, yeah, look, I think it's easy, isn't it, when you upset people just to quickly use those labels, isn't it? He's a shock jock. You know, it's like when, yeah, in politics, you know, when somebody says... Or, you know, somebody might just have a go at the far left. Oh, he's extreme right. Well, no, not necessarily. Yeah.
No, exactly. And then the other thing too, you're either a shock jock or you go the other way and you're a short sniffer. You just want to be in the dressing room sniffing the shorts and be a fan. You've got to be neutral. And sometimes, as someone said to me once, in any kind of journalism, 90% of the job's easy because you're actually saying the stuff that people want you to say. It's the 10% of the time you're saying what they don't want you to say. That's when you do your work.
And ironically, though, isn't it, that, as I say, it's the guys with the big opinions are the ones that seem to... Hey, I want to ask you a quick question, Sean, and I'm sorry, we're going off tack here a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
How much commentary work have you done, Sean? And if you have, or have you been in a situation where you suddenly you've had your world turned upside down and you've got to think on your feet, you've lost your notes, you've done something, or you've had to jump into the commentary box and suddenly find yourself having to do something that you hadn't prepared for?
I've commentated a couple of times. I did a little bit of rugby down in Southland. I was a bit average. I actually commentated a Richie McCaw game for Otago Boys once, which was our commentator was out on the diesel and he didn't make it. So that was a bit of a rough one. But it's stuff and nightmares. I'm never short of speaking, mate, but I'm not a good commentator. But I'll show you guys a very, very quick one.
Yep.
New Zealand Golf Open way back was at the Grange. And I was asked to be the front person. That was fine. So I did my piece, and they said, right, you've got to get down to the OB truck commentary position. I went, why? Well, you're commentating. I went, what? This is the morning. I just welcomed the viewers. And I go down to the commentary. I haven't told many people this. I go down to the commentary box. I am absolutely pooing my pants. Like, this is the stuff of nightmares. You wake up sweating. And I'm like, what do I do? This is live TV3. I've just got the New Zealand Golf Open. Big deal. Bob Charles' last ever tournament. And I sit down, and there's two guys, Brian's, and a couple of proper Australian PGA guys were in there with us. And I sat down there, and I'm too scared to say I'm shitting my pants. Pardon my language. And I'm like, what do I do? And then the director goes in your ear, hey, we're going to go to the third hole now. It's Mahal Pierce. He's already one under. This is his second shot.
Yep.
And then I just went, and now we're at the third hole. Mahal Pierce, he's already one under his second shot. And the other guys take over. And I spent 3 days doing that.
But that's the smart stuff. That's the smart stuff. You know, people say, commentaries, but you don't know what you don't know, and that is absolutely brilliant. The reason I asked you that question is because I've been madly preparing for my schedule at the Olympics, and the first week is whitewater kayaking and then a little bit of beach volleyball. Well, I get an email yesterday saying, Mark, we need you to do the entire cycling program now. And I'm like,
no way.
You're kidding me. That's huge.
And I said, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up the kayaking in the second week, guys. I've done too much work on it. But anyway, they've now given me the entire first week, which is the road race, the time trials, the BMX and the mountain biking. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I've been the most relaxed I've ever been going into a game, thinking, man, I'm on top of all of this. I've got it all sorted. And now, bang, suddenly I'm like,
BMX, she's over pretty quickly. Mountain biking... just let them enjoy the scenery. But I tell you what, the road race is a long time and a lot to talk about there.
The
same with the time trial, too.
Road race, to be fair.
Really?
Oh, the BMXing, it's like, you know, it's so sharp and short. It's, you know, like, Sean, do you say anything? Do you say too much? Do you do a radio call and say, no, it's just interesting that suddenly in my game, you know, you're just forced to suddenly shift. And then I think what adds to that is the fact that you are representing the Olympic rings. You're working for the Olympic, because we're actually working for the Olympic broadcast service. So suddenly it's like, it's not just Sky TV, it's like it's more than that, and therefore...
Guys, do you want a coffee?
Do you want a coffee? What are you having? Milk, one sugar, Sean, is it? And Mark, what?
No, but Lynn, I'll tell you something. Things you don't realise about commentary or presenting, I'll tell you something, is what you're actually paid to do is to look serenely and look in control when everything's falling apart around you. And what Mark's going to have to do now, because the viewers and what they don't give a damn that he's only just been told this, he's got to deliver as good as anyone's ever delivered. Mm. So this is, you know, I know how you're feeling right now, mate. I know you'll smash it, but and you know what, you'll probably enjoy it more than the kayaking.
Oh, I've still got the kayaking in the second week, which I'm looking forward to. Hey, guys, look. Quickly too, because I look at your show and I'm like, I think what we've just seen is quite interesting.
I think it is too, yeah.
But look, I've got to say that All Black performance over the weekend, once again, Sky Television didn't do themselves any favour. No one really critical of the All Blacks post that game, which I always find disappointing from Sky. Stop being cheerleaders, but I think there were some major concerns there. The fact that Fiji, what, scored four tries against us in a week where South Africa had come out and said, look, we think the All Black forwards are a little bit soft, we think they're a little bit light. And I'm not sure that some of those players, particularly players like Shannon Brazell and stuff, really put their hand up over the weekend, and that should be a major concern. Or is it the fact that, you know, a lot of media, and I sit in this one, you know, is Ian Foster the right guy here?
Well, and when Fiji are getting pushover tries and they've got a rolling maul, and yes, they've had some good coaching, but that just shows you that physically they're there, and I was looking at them. They're in incredible shape, and you know, I'm a little bit anxious. Or could they be like, you know, the traditionally the Irish would come out and be amazing in the first game, and then the second game they get dealt to. So I want to hold off a little bit until I see what happens this week. But it didn't exactly fill me with happiness. And there's two weeks I've been left a bit hollow, to be fair.
Okay, I'll give you my point on it. First of all, on the Sky commentary after the match, it was sickening to listen to. And I'm sorry, these are journalists. Is everyone scared to criticise the All Blacks in this country apart from the people on here? And this is God, I wish the late, great Andy Hayden, he would have come out and said they were terrible, they're an average side, and he would have been vilified, but he would have been right.
Amon, if he had done that, like myself, you'd get labelled a shock jock.
Oh. Yeah. But anyway, and I felt the All Blacks were poor, and it wasn't Fiji's best side. And I have to say, that performance, I'm beginning to wonder why the announcement of Scott Robinson signing with New Zealand Rugby till 2024, whether there is a movement now where they're looking at Ian Foster, whether Ian Foster keeps the job at the end of the season. I think we're going to struggle in Europe, and I think we're going to struggle against South Africa in the Rugby Championship.
We should not be making, and we forget listening to Steve Hansen. Steve Hansen had too much of say in the game along with two for too long. See, he came out and said, oh, it's unbelievable we haven't re-signed Ian Foster. Well, let's be honest, Steve, we re-signed you in 2017, and I thought you were past your use-by date, and we lost the Rugby World Cup in the semi-finals. We can't afford to go into the next World Cup with Ian Foster. I'm just sorry, there's just not enough there. People don't have confidence in him. We need a fresh voice. He's been part of that Hansen setup for too long. And, look, Steve Hansen, just stay right out of it. And I'd like to think that the power brokers are not listening to him, because I think if we drop a couple of games against South Africa and Australia and, you know, the end of the year tour, I'm with you, I think we will struggle. Then I do think they have to make the tough call. You've got to make the tough call, or we will end up losing a Rugby World Cup.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget, they're busy trying to sell New Zealand rugby to make some money right now. They can't afford to look bad.
That's true. Anyway,
I tell you what I did like. What I did like is this Luke Jacobson. He played a week ago. I thought there was something about that guy. I didn't know much about him. You know, he got picked initially, then got injured and missed that World Cup in Japan. But there is just, I like the look of him at number eight. You know, I thought Hoskins Satuto actually played reasonably well on the weekend. But yeah, there's a few players I think we should be excited by.
Definitely should be. Anyway, we might as well move on to Tokyo 2020. Okay, I'll put it to you first. How many goals will New Zealand win? And can you pick us a surprise medalist, someone we're not going to see?
Hayden Wild in the triathlon's good enough to win the gold medal. I think he will medal. Low bike ride, I think he's good enough. Hayden Wild out of Tauranga, remember the name. I think Carrington will win three goals, as I've said, and I think they'll also medal in the K4. I'm going to, maybe because I've been given it on the first day, if there was ever to be one of the great moments in New Zealand sport, I'd love to see George Bennett do something in that men's road race. It's set up for him. A lot of the Tour de France riders won't be there. Disappointing Giro d'Italia, but he's got that in the legs. He's recovered. So they're my sort of dark horses, I guess. But I'll throw it over to you, Sean.
I don't know. So what do you reckon if we could get, say, what, six golds? Are we good enough for six or seven?
Tuke and Burling should win, shouldn't they?
We're probably likely to get one in the a couple in the rowing. I think we'll get at least one or two gold medals in the rowing, guys.
There may be 11 or 12. Imagine that.
Well, I think gold medal-wise, I think Carrington 3, I think definitely 2, but I'm going to go 3. I think, yeah, I think Yachting, we probably potentially he could get 2, Josh Jr., but I think 1 gold definitely there. Yeah, and Rowan, I think, potentially could throw up 2. So, you know, what are we up to? We're up to sort of 6 already, aren't we?
7,
gold, right?
7.
So, look, I think one of those, you know, they always predict, I forget who it was, but it came out, I think it was in Stuff the other day, saying that, you know, they'd predicted New Zealand to win 7 gold medals. What did we pick up? 18, I think, in total at the last games, didn't we? Can we go past that? I'm not quite sure we will. But then, you know, and gold medals would be enough to probably...
You're over there. They're listening to you, giving them... the shock jock treatment, mate. Shock them into getting 9. How's that?
Getting 9?
Okay, I'll give you...
9. We'll go with 9.
I'll give you my prediction. 7 golds, but I'm going to pick a surprise medalist. Anton Cooper in the mountain biking.
I wonder who commentating that is. Oh, that's right, that's me now, the shock jock.
So, you know, so when the shock jock is calling over for a medal for Anton Cooper, you will mention that this was predicted on this show.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he does, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd have to do it. Come on, Mark.
Mate, I'm gonna slip your name in there, just like I'm going to manage to slip Mount Albert Grammar's name in there when I mention Peter Snell, hopefully, when Lisa Carrington wins the double.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, by the way, we beat Auckland Grammar on the weekend by a point.
Yes,
the game
great one.
About 40 metres out on the angle. Stunning. 26-25, Mags over Grammar.
Yeah, always got to get the Mount Albert. Man, what piece. And anyway, Sean, the Giz, how good is he at the moment, mate?
Oh, look, he's doing great, seriously, mate. And to get 50, you know, that said, though, I was, you know, looking at it and sort of comparing where he'd gone. And he didn't get that mark as quick as Lowndes or as quick as Scott McLaughlin, but he was quicker than Tander to get to 50, but... You know, they're well in control, that team this year. So what he took, Craig Lowndes did his 50 wins and 122nd start. So it was pretty amazing. Scafie took 259. Garth Tander, one of the greats, 401 races. But then you go to Scott McLaughlin, and he did it in 239 at age 27.
It's interesting that you mention that, because you've got, you're talking about those two others are actually in his era, aren't they? So he was actually racing Auckland.
Who's raced, you know, all those guys, yeah.
So it's not like he's sort of done it slowly because, you know, in his own, he's done it slowly because two of the absolute legends who sit the next to him ahead of him were in the same time.
Oh, exactly. And hey, just something else too is floating around. Speaking of Scott McLaughlin, I see Fabian Coulthard made some comments. It's good to be in a team now where he's sort of getting the car the way he likes it. And he was sort of having a go at the fact that the Penske car was set up around Scott McLaughlin. And Scott McLaughlin was on a weekend off in America, and he fired back saying, really, I'm pretty sure you got what you wanted. I quite liked it. So there's a bit of niggle going on there. I just wonder if there's still a bit of chip on some shoulders from, Fabian was obviously with that team and Scott came in. But I'm just watching that because a bit of niggle spices things up.
And well, all Fabian Coulthard can do if he wants to, you know, talk the talk, make sure he gets out and walks the walk and says, well, I've got it my way now. Now I'll show you how good I am. Well, at the moment, same Van Gisbergen and
exactly.
Still showing you that you're not that good.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say something before we wrap up. Mark, you're off to Japan this Saturday, and I hope it goes well for you with the Summer Olympics and the Paralympics. And I just want to say, as we're coming up to the first anniversary show next week, I want to thank you for the input you've given this show over the past year. You've had a lot of fun, bit of controversy.
The only thing I want to do is come with Sean and meet him.
You don't want to meet me.
We're still waiting for the beer to be shouted, eh?
Hang on. Well, Mark, when you're out of isolation, Mark, when you get back, I'll be shouting
a
lot. Look,
I'll let you know. I probably can do next Monday for you.
Oh, great.
I can give you an update. But the following week, I'll have to look at the new schedule and let you know, okay? All right.
Mate, thank you very much, guys. You've both been a pleasure, as usual, and I will call you guys next week for the first anniversary show.